Now the cricket school. Oh,
I heard you the other day online. Very good.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay, what did I say?
Tell me when you're ready.
Yeah, well, it's 25.
Yeah. Is part
I'll
four.
Tell you, I'll
is
tell
it
you.
What? Is part four of the series so far?
Welcome back, Josh.
Rabbi Elias was here. He was looking for you. Elias?
Elias.
Elias. Alan?
Yes.
He was looking just to say hello to you.
Oh, that's nice.
Where have you been?
Out of the booth.
Just for a week. With the asylum seekers?
With this, are they going to book the farm?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, it's going to be recorded.
Okay,
now.
Say when.
Ready.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai, all those who are present and correct. And all those who are online, continuing the now the four-part series of the Center of the Week, Vayechi. We talked about Vayechi, and he lived, and refers to a euphemism, we referred to the Chevra Kedisha and the changes which are relevant to the Chevra Kedisha today in order to get Gvura without delay. We talked about the bracha to the grandchildren, Yosef's children, Ephraim and Manasseh, and then with that we came yesterday to Hamalach HaGoel. And I mentioned about the Shadal, that's Shmuel David Luzzatto, Italy, who gave different explanations what refers to Hamalach HaGoel. But normally you can't daven to a malach. How can you have to daven to a malach? No, it wasn't that. The malach was a shaliach. Another idea was it was the malach that Yaakov had actually wrestled with. And then the third, very different and very interesting explanation of Shadal was that Hamalach refers to Yosef himself. So Yaakov was saying to his son, Hamalach HaGoel, that you have redeemed, you, the son that I missed for so many years, have come back. You are the redeemer. And with that, I'm going to come on to the point of what I'm going to say today. And again, that's on Hamalach HaGoel, Osimi Koro. I want to just tell everybody, I know we're being recorded, so I will say, firstly, I will say that there is a very, very old minhag, that at a bris, in particular, in the bris of twin boys on the same day, that they are actually not just one bris of twins, but they are two separate brises. And the way that we divide them up between the first and the second as being separate is to sing Hamalach HaGoel Osi.
Go on.
Have you ever heard that, Rav Shimon?
Very interesting.
It's very interesting, it's very old, and it's a very lovely minhag. If somebody has twin boys, and sometimes that happens with twins as well, twin boys, that for whatever reason, one is bigger than the other, one is ready before the other, and therefore the brises aren't always together on the same day. But if the two brises are on the same day together, they are nonetheless two separate brises, and the way that we divide them up is with Hamalach HaGoel. So many people tell a story, Lo Hoyo Lo Nivre. I'm actually going to tell a story, a Maase Shehoyo, but it's not only a Maase Shehoyo, but it actually happened as well. The story happened about 8 weeks ago. Prior to this, I had received a telephone call from a lady who is definitely halakhically Jewish. She's halakhically Jewish, and therefore her children are halakhically Jewish. Absolutely. We are talking now about Kiruv. Kiruv means that she is far away from wherever, but she's also not in London. She's far away as well. She's at a distance. This lady, having her first two children, and they are twins. And then when she phoned me up, they were only £2, a bag of sugar, if you want to call it that, each. And therefore, we had to wait. The big day came, and she came to London, and they wanted it to be done in London. And they came up, and the question was, how are we going to do it? So they didn't have, they did have, but we decided we would put an injection of Yiddishkeit in here, a very pleasant injection. There was no needle, and it was a big syringe, and it was infused very nicely. Fortunately, we were able to ask Gabriel Ost, who is a neighbour along here, who is, people know him as a big Askan in the Kehillah. He was going to be the Sandek, and then at the same time we needed to have a Kavata and Kavaterin, and I asked Rabbi Yaakov Hyman, and he and his wife were delighted to be asked, absolutely delighted to be asked. And on this occasion, as I say, we were able, with the three of us, I'm not going to reproduce it now, but the three of us, that's Rabbi Hyman, Gabriel Ost, myself, the three of us were able to sing HaMalach HaGor, and it brought tears. It brought more tears to the mother than to the baby. The mother cried more than the baby on this occasion. I think if you hear us singing, it will also bring tears to your eyes as well. But nonetheless, it was tears of Yiddishkeit which they were reaching out for in terms of being so distant. So distant, and this was, again, I don't want to use the word Kiruv because it's often misunderstood or mistranslated in a context, but in this context, and we've kept in contact with this family, and, you know, Zeh HaKotzon Godol Yeh, you never know what will happen in the many years to come to be followed up.
Start your day the Torah away. Thursday, New Year's Day, 12th of Tevis, Urbab will be lifting. Parasha theme, this week's Torah has been sponsored by Yossi Levy of PSD Design and Build the Bar Mitzvah of Elliot Levy, Yerutzer Shiz, Gehoir of Zkele, Vroid Nachtzim, Meni, Umi Yeitzei Chalotov. The Ili Nishmas of Yosef Dob and Shimon Michal Tzvi, our founder.
Good morning. Just before I saw an idea brought down that today is the non-Jewish New Year, and is there any point in us Yidden celebrating? And I saw an idea, it's a Chassid Shavuot, but I think it's true nonetheless, that, is it from the Chasam Sofer?
I think I
that when, whoever it's from, that whatever we do on when we daven on our Rosh Hashanah, and our tefillah, sometimes we don't daven as well as we could. But then, when there's when we compare to what the goyim do on New Year's Eve, and then the Rabbi Yisrael says, "Wow, whatever you did on Rosh Hashanah is incredible, and it'll be a chus for you." So, whatever we do today, Mitzvah will be is a chus better than what the goyim have done in the last 24 hours. So, what I wanted to go through this week is an idea brought in this week's parasha. So when a person is on their deathbed, then generally the words that they say are very different than the casual day-to-day words that we speak. And in this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu was coming towards the end of his life. He turns to all the Shvatim and he gives each of the Shvatim their own bracha. When he says to Zevulun, the bracha, he says, Zevulun l'choif yamim yisar yishkoin, which seems to say that Zevulun should go by the sea, he should it's an interesting thing. Yaakov's not telling Zevulun just that he should be a sailor. So what is Yaakov actually telling him? So there's a Medrash Tanchuma on this week's parasha, where the Medrash Tanchuma tells us the following. The Medrash Tanchuma says, I'll read a few inside, because it's just a very interesting. So Medrash Tanchuma says 2 points. First of all, he says that Zevulun is brought before Yisachar. Now, what is the bracha of Yisachar and what is the bracha of Zevulun? The bracha of Yisachar, we know, is that Yisachar should sit in learn Torah, and the bracha of Zevulun is that Zevulun should be working, if that's the simple way to say it. So the Medrash Tanchuma asks the following question. So he says, Kadam Zevulun Yisachar, Zevulun is brought before Yisachar in the Pesukim. V'lama, why? She Zevulun oisik b'parmakdia, Zevulun is working in business, V'Yisachar oisik b'Torah, and Yisachar is busy working, learning Torah. And also shutvas b'neim, they make a partnership between them. She prakmatya shel Zevulun li'Yisachar. The business of Zevulun will go for Yisachar. Shekein Moshe berchan. Moshe also gave the same bracha. Smach Zevulun b'tzeisecha, V'Yisachar b'alecha. In Parshas Tevarim, we see that Zevulun rejoices when he goes out, and Yisachar in his tent. Which is actually very interesting if you think about it. The pasuk says that Zevulun should rejoice. What is Zevulun rejoicing about? So he says, Samach Zevulun b'tzeisecha l'pramakdia, Zevulun should rejoice when he goes out on his business. Mishum di Yisachar b'ayalecha oyesik b'Torah. Because Yisachar is in the tent learning Torah. And he says, Eitz chaim hi l'machazikim ba, l'ficha hikdim Zevulun Yisachar. Therefore, Zevulun is brought before Yisachar. Shall Mali Zevulun, if not for the fact that Zevulun would be working, Yisachar wouldn't be able to learn Torah. So, if we just get clear on the Medrash Tanchuma, the Medrash Tanchuma is explaining to us 2 points. Point number one is the fact that you've got a partnership, Yisachar and Zevulun together. Yisachar is learning Torah, Zevulun is working. Zevulun is not only working, but he's rejoicing in his working, because through his working, he's allowing Yisachar to learn Torah. Now, the question that I want to discuss today is, so we see that there's obviously a mitzvah or an inyan for Yisachar to learn Torah, and Zevulun to support him. Is there any limit, is there any amount that a person should maximize himself when providing for Yisachar? In other words, we know that there's a mitzvah of Maisa, a mitzvah of giving 10% of your wealth. Is there any inyan of giving more when it comes to Torah? There's a famous story, which some of you probably know already, about a Yid who lived in Vilna. Sorry, not a Yid who lived not in Vilna, he was a Yid who loved learning history about different parts of European history. And one day he decides he's going to go to Vilna, and when he gets to the Beis HaKvaros, the cemetery there, he sees on the Matsevas, the tombstones there, he sees two graves next to each other, and on the graves, the gravestone, it says on one side, Kappa Parasa La'oni, and on the other one, the other brother, it says V'yodeha Shulcha La'evyon, which is a pasuk in Mishlei, which we sing every Friday night in Eishes Chayil. And he wanted to understand what was the purpose of what was written on these gravestones. Translated is, Kappa Parsalioni, she stretched out her hand to a poor person, V'yodeha, and her hand, Shulcha, La'evyon, she sent to a destitute person. So he went around the town to try and find out what was going on over here. And eventually, someone in the town told him that there were two wealthy brothers who used to give out a huge amount of tzedakah. And one day, their business started failing, and they weren't able to give as much tzedakah as possible. People in the town started talking about, it doesn't make sense, these people are such good people, they do everything that's right, why would Hashem take away their money? So eventually they decide they're going to make a din Torah, they're going to go to court, and the Beis Din is going to decide why they went bankrupt. And the Beis Din spent many hours going through everything, going through what they do on a day-to-day basis, and eventually they could come to no other decision other than the fact that they give too much tzedakah. They're giving more than 10% of their wealth, or 20% if you learn the halakhs of tzedakah. So what they did was, they appointed a person to be in charge of this, of these people's assets, to ensure that they wouldn't give more than what they're supposed to give. And this person comes and he starts looking after them, and the brothers couldn't cope with the fact that they were restrained in the amount of stock they were able to give. So they started secretly giving away all their real assets. And they were going around giving all the assets to different people, and they had literally nothing left except the silver spoon. And one day, a poor person knocks on the door, and all they have was a silver spoon. And another person comes and knocks on the door. So what these two brothers did were they snapped the spoon in half. The handle they gave to one person, and the spoon itself they gave to another person. Later on, when these brothers died and they passed away, then that was what was written on their graves. Kapa, which it's a euphemism, it means kapa, the palm, which means the palm of the hand. Parsalani, they stretched out to a poor person. Viadeha, which in Hebrew also means a handle. Shilchal Evyon, they gave to a destitute person. But we see in this story that these people, they were punished, so to speak, from the fact that they gave more than what they were supposed to with their tzedakah. So we see very clearly that a person who gives too much tzedakah, too much charity, is also wrong. So again, how much, when it comes to Zvulun, is he supposed to give to Yisachar? There's a Gemara in Yuma, Lamed Hayom Beis, 35b, which is actually a fascinating Gemara. People probably know a lot of the Gemara, because the Gemara there discusses when a person will eventually die, and a person says, I didn't dedicate time to Torah. The Gemara there brings three classical people who had all the excuses in the world not to learn Torah, and yet they dedicated time to learn Torah. So we had the very wealthy person who was the father of Rabbi Lez ben Hurkanus, and you have Rabbi Akiva, and then you have, and the third one is about Hillel HaZaken. Because the Gemara there tells us, Omar Olav HaHillel HaZaken, they used to tell about Hillel HaZaken, Shebuchol Yom Vayom, every single day, Hoya Oise Umistake Batarpik. He used to earn the value of a tarpik. A tarpik is a certain coin. Chetzioi Hoya Noisein L'Shoyme Beis HaMedrash. Half he used to give to allow him to learn in the Beis HaMedrash. V'chetzioi L'Parnassos, L'Parnassosoi, L'Parnassei, Parnass Anche Beisei. And the other half was to support himself and his family. No, he's earned one tarpik, 50% of his earnings he's giving to go and learn Torah, and the other 50% he's giving for his family. And everyone knows the rest of the story, which is one day he didn't have enough money, and as was predicted today, it was supposed to snow today, but it didn't. And he climbed on the roof, and it was a Shabbos, Friday night, and on Shabbos morning they came to learn Torah, and they see that it's dark. They look up and they see the form of a person over there, and they climb up another Shemaiah Naftalion, and they climb up another, none other than it was Hillel up there. And Shemaiah said over there is that for a person like this, it's worth being Mechal Shabbos for him. That's what the Gemara says, which in itself is a topic for itself, which I'm sure doctor can rule. If a person puts himself in Hillel, in a position where he's going to die, are you allowed to save him, or are you supposed to save him on Shabbos? But that's not today's topic. So, we see very clearly in that story that Hillel used to give 50% of his earnings to tzedakah. Is that the right thing? So this is where it comes to the big question, and that is the Gemara in Kesubos. The Gemara in Kesubos says that Ba'usha Hiskinu, in Usha they made a takana that Hamavazvez Al Yuvazvez Yosem Mechomesh. A person who gives more than his amount of Maisa shouldn't give more than a fifth, more than 20%. Meaning to say, even though according to the halach we know that Aser to Asran Lach you're supposed to give 10%, if the person feels that they want to give more than 10%, don't give more than 20%. According to this, was Hillel breaking the halacha? We see very clearly in the story that those two wealthy brothers were breaking the halacha, which is why the Beis Din ruled that they should lose that they were losing their money. But why was Hillel not breaking the halacha? There's a Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Hei. It's a fascinating Gemara, and the Gemara there is discussing all different areas of when a person learns Torah, what it can do to a person, or what a person should do, shouldn't do. And the Gemara there brings a famous pasuk, because it's been turned into a song, by Avraham Fried, which says, Loi bashomayim hi, that it is, the pasuk starts off before that, Ki ha-mitzvah azos asher anochi nosein lecha, and it says, Loi bashomayim hi, it's not in heaven, v'loi me'eva layom hi, and it is not away distant over the sea, Loi bashomayim hi, and it's not in the heaven. Loi bashomayim hi, the Gemara explains, it's not in the heaven, She'im bashomayim hi, if it would be in the heaven, atot tzorach lalis acharel, you'd have to climb up after it, and if it was on the other side of the sea, atot tzorach lav acharel, you'd have to go to chase after it. Now the question is, what is this pasuk talking about? You've got a pasuk, which is this pasuk, which I'm talking about, it's not me'eva le'yom, it's not bashomayim hi, v'lo me'eva le'yom. What does that mean? So there is three opinions in the Gemara. The first opinion is Rav Avdimi. Rav Avdimi explains that it's talking about Torah. Because it's talking about Torah, Torah is not abstract. It's not in the heaven that you don't have to stop chasing it. It's not on the other side of the sea. It's something that each and every person on their own level has the ability to learn it. Rava gives a second opinion. Rava says, Loi bashamayim hi, it's not in heaven. Loi timotze, you can't find Torah. B'mi shemagbia da'te aleha kishamayim, someone who is arrogant or haughty like the heavens. V'loi timotze, and you can't find Torah. B'mi shemarchiv da'te aleha kiyom, someone who expands his knowledge, someone who thinks they know everything. In other words, someone who's either too haughty or too arrogant, Torah won't come to them. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Loi bashamayim hi, it's not in heaven. Loi timotze begasei ruach, it's not found again in a person who is arrogant. V'loi timotze v'loi b'sachronim v'loi b'tagorim, in these sort of people. So if we people who travel, a tagor, so or a sachar is a person who's a seicha, a person who is business. So the point is that we see in this Gemara three opinions of what this mitzvah of that the pasuk was talking about. The first opinion of Rav Avdimi is that Torah is not for those people who think it's far away and people who think it's abstract. Every single person has the ability to learn Torah. If we analyze this Rav Avdimi, it would come out that according to Rav Avdimi, then it would be that since Torah is accessible for everybody, we would be obligated, every single person, to try and gain it with whatever means we can. According to Rava, Torah is only not for the arrogant, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Torah is not for the people who are working in business, then again, possibly, but anyone else, it would fit into the normal category of tzedakah. I remember once, my Rosh Shiva, Tzika Shlevsky, once went travelling to France, fundraising for his yeshiva, and at the end of the day, he was sitting and learning, and it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and the person who was with him said to him, "You've got to go to bed." So he said, "The Rambam says," which I think a lot of people know this Rambam, but maybe don't understand the full context of the Rambam, is that every single person should be learning at least 8 hours a day. So he said, "At least I want to be a balabos." That's what he said. So he sat and learned for 8 hours, because he said, "At least I want to be like a balabos who learns." Now, people who know Rav Tzvi, Rav Tzvi used to literally sit and learn all day and all night. I remember when the Rebbetzin was ill, so I was there in yeshiva at the time, and so it was a very difficult period in his life, and in the morning we used to have to go and knock on his door to tell him to come to Shacharis, because he was busy looking after the Rebbetzin. I once went there on a Friday morning, and his feet were in a bowl of water because he didn't want to fall asleep on a Thursday night, because he held Thursday night was the time to sit and learn. And he sat and learned the whole night on Thursday night. He put his feet in a bowl of water to make sure he wouldn't fall asleep. Incredible what sort of person he is. During the 6 months, the last 6 months when his wife was very ill, so he they brought a carer into his house. Now, the carer was a female, and obviously there's a halacha of balabeh, but he held, his wife was there, but he held that since his wife was immobile, she couldn't move, then the halachas of yichud still applied to him. And therefore he never slept in his room. They put a bed in his study, in where he used to learn. I used to go there every single day to learn with him, and his bed was immaculate, and it looked like it had never been made. I've no idea whether he did sleep, he definitely slept something, but he definitely didn't sleep on a bed for all those months that his wife was ill. Anyway, back to this Gemara. So the Rambam, if we look in the Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel Halacha Hey, the Rambam says, Kos Bater, Le Bashamayim Hi, it's not in heaven, Le Me'evayom Hi. Le Bashamayim Hi, Le Begasi, Ruach Hi Metzia, Torah is not found for people who are haughty, Ve Le Me'evayom Hi, Le Be'mahalchei Me'evayom Hi. Not for people who travel. Lefichach Amru Chachomim, therefore Chachomim say, Loi Kol Hamar Beschera, people who do too much business. And I presume it means travel a lot, Machkim, are clever. But tzivu amru have ma'at asoik v'asoik batera. If have ma'at asoik v'asoik batera. In other words, the Rambam seems to paskin like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. If the Rambam paskins like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, evidently he didn't hold like Rabbi Adimi, implying that the halachas of learning Torah fall under the regular category of hilchas tzedakah, and therefore a person should only be giving maximum 20% of tzedakah, and therefore the question remains on Hillel: how could Hillel give 50% on his wealth on a regular day when the halacha says not like that? So that's the question. All clear?
Yeah.
Good.
But
he was paying 50% of what he earned to go and learn Torah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to do that? Sorry? That's a way to say that it's maybe not tzedakah, but to go pay and learn Torah is possibly included in the halachas. Even without that, there's a big discussion for any mitzvah: how much are you supposed to give? It could be. Does that fit into what category does that fit in? Do you know there's two opinions? There's two opinions. People only know that people you should be lying on the floor learning Torah and only having bread and salt, bread and water and salt. That's one opinion. The other opinion is that we've got Rabbi Yonah's opinion. Rabbi Yonah says is that you shouldn't make Torah that it should feel like just water and bread. We should make it gishmak. Anyway, so yeah.
If you get married, you give it all. If you marry a wife, you have your obligation with all your money to support her.
Is that a mitzvah like Talmud Torah?
I don't know, is it? I think so.
I mean, there's a mitzvah to get married, but is a mitzvah of providing for your wife, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, it's a pasuk, she'er kesusa
v'ainasa. It should be, but they don't do it today, it's not carried out today.
Okay, so the Gemara brings. I wanted to bring three possible suggestions. Okay. Fine. So I wanted to bring three possible reasons. One based on the Chofetz Chaim in Likutei Halachos, one from the Chasam Sofer, and one from the Ben Yoyada. So the Chofetz Chaim in the Likutei Halachos, he writes the following: is that the halacha of Usha, which says that a person who gives more than 10% and gives up to 20% is talking about regular tzedakah, not referring to Torah. And he explains, as the Medrash says, Medrash Tanchuma said, Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Bo, that a person who learns Torah, Eitz Chaim Hi, supporting Torah is not just about losing money, it's about buying for yourself Gan Eden, eternity. A person who's buying themselves Gan Eden, there's no cap on what they have to pay. That's a Chofetz Chaim, it's a Chiddush. Meaning to say is that generally when you give tzedakah, you can give up to regular tzedakah. But when learning Torah, acquiring yourself olam haba, then there's no limit. You can buy yourself however much it costs, because a person who wants to buy themselves eternity, there's no limit. You can buy, you can pay for as much as you can. And therefore, Hillel, he was learning Torah. He was allowed to give more than up to 50%, even more than 50%, because he wanted to become a Talmud Chacham. The Chavetz Chaim, the Chasam Sofer, and the Chasam Sofer is in Simon Reish Chav Tes. It's a very fascinating teshuva. It's in Shuvah's Chasam Sofer, where there was a person whose father, unfortunately, couldn't afford to provide for himself. The son had the ability to support the father, but only to support the father if he would go into his Maisa money. There's a Gemara there that said, there's a Gemara which says that you should never support one particular poor person, give him all his money. It's the wrong thing to do. Rather, you should divide your tzedakah among different organizations. You shouldn't give your tzedakah specifically to one place. And so the question was, if he gives all his maisa to his father and he's supporting his father, is that a problem? And the Chasam Sofer goes through the different aspects. Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em, are you supposed to go into your money for it? Are you supposed to lose money for it? Bottom line is, the Chasam Sofer, in a side note over there, he brings out is that there was two times in life. There was a time before the Takon of Usha and post-Takon of Usha. Hillel, if you go through the Gemara, you'll see that there's two different Hillels. The Hillel that we're referring to in Yevamos was the Hillel who lived pre-Takonas Usha. People who lived in that time, pre-Takonas Usha, you were allowed to give, you had to earn however much money you earned, and anything else that was above what you needed to support yourself for that day, you had to give to tzedakah. Along came Usha, and Usha, they ruled, you're only allowed to give 10% of tzedakah. Anything more than 10%, you're allowed to give maximum 20%. Hillel, who lived before that takana, he decided that he can give up to 50%. And therefore, Hillel went to the Beis HaMedrash, and he gave a tarpik, or half a tarpik, because that was what he needed to go to the Beis HaMedrash. But once the takana of Usha was enacted, a person could only give maximum 10 to 20%, and that's what all they could give. And therefore, you can't ask a question on the Gemara, because Hillel was post-Takonas Usha, and that was pre-Takonas Usha, and Usha came along and enacted it. And that's why the Beis Din ruled in that case that these people should had a right to lose their money, because they lived post-Takonas Usha. There is a third answer, which it's a suggestion, which I saw in the Gemara in Yevamos, in Yuma, sorry. The Gemara in Yuma, Chaf Aleph, the Gemara there is talking about different things which were Eina Min Hamida, which were miracles which took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara there famously says that, for example, the Lechem Aponim used to stay fresh every Shabbos. The Gemara there says that people, I think everyone knows this, that in the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Yama Tzali HaMakim, and the Gemara there describes different things. One of the things, it's also a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, but the Gemara there elaborates on it. But the Gemara there says that Mokoim Oroin Einoi Min Hamida. The Oroin, it didn't take up any space. How does that logically make sense? Or let's work out the physically how that makes sense. Physically, the dimensions of the Kodesh Kadoshim were 10 Amos by 10 Amos. You have the Oroin in the middle, and you have the Badim, the poles, which were 10 amos long. Now, if they were 10 amos long, they fitted, how could the Kohen Gadol get in between the Oroin to do his, to do the Keteras on Yom Kippur? It must be that Oroin Einam in Hamida. The Ben Yehuda explains over there that Torah doesn't follow physical rules, because the Oroin contain the Luchos in it, which represent the Torah. Explains the Ben Yehuda that any money which is spent on Torah doesn't come out of your yearly budget. However much you earn, we are told that a person is paskin from Hashem, how much we earn every single year. But whatever you spend on Torah, there's no budget for that. And therefore, it could be according to that Gemara, according to that, that if a person spends more than 20% to support Torah, then they are allowed to do that, because that doesn't fit into the Gemara about Usha. Hillel was going to spend money to learn Torah. He was allowed to spend as much as he wanted. I remember once I brought my father's got a yeshiva in Gateshead, and I brought him to someone here, fundraising, and the person gave him a nice amount of money. And then later on, I took someone else there, I want to mention who it is, and this person said, I give to directly to Torah, I don't give to most of us which do things other than directly learning Torah. He felt that his way of giving tzedakah was only to moistas which actually learned Torah, but anything else was not that. So now if we just recap on what we said, is the reason why Zevulun, if we go back to the apostle which we started off was, is that Yisachar he was given the bracha from Yaakov to sit and learn Torah, and Zevulun was given the bracha from Yaakov to do business. There's two types of people. There's some people who learn Torah, and there's some people who make learning Torah possible. But ultimately, when we get up there, we'll be together in the same boat. And whether the only one, if we learn through the three opinions, the only one that would seem to imply that a person is capped at 20% of tzedakah, 10% for a normal person, 20% would be the Chasam Sofer. But whether according to the Chofetz Chaim, or whether according to the Ben Yehuda, it would imply that supporting directly Torah, a person can give much more than just 20%. Have a good day.
Let me have your attention. I know it's high and last minute. You do that every week. Can you get it as well? Yes, next year. And do those shipping notes, please. With it.